Good to see you tonight. If you have your Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Good to see all of you this evening. And we're continuing to think about, tonight I want to talk to you about blessing others by our common confession. Blessing others by our common confession. So we've been talking for some time now about what the Bible has to say about confessing, making the good confession. So what does that mean? That means that we confess, number one, Jesus is the promised Messiah. Jesus is Christ. Number two, we have learned that the good confession means that we confess that Jesus not only is Messiah, but he is the Son of God. We confess. We are blessed when we confess to one another and to the Lord. We make the good confession, Jesus is Christ, the Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God. And then we learn from God's Word, especially in Romans chapter 10, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So we've talked about the common confession of Jesus as our Messiah, promised one of the Old Testament prophets, Psalms, Law, the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament. We talked about Jesus as Son of God, the one who has come from the Father. So here we have this mystery with Father and Son, and also Jesus comes and talks about the Holy Spirit. Three gods, not three gods, but one God revealing himself to us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God. We never understand the mystery of the oneness of God and yet the uniqueness of the Godhead, as it's sometimes called. God being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is the great mystery of the faith. So we confess one God as Father, Son, Holy Spirit, which is what we'll think about tonight. So here's the progression. Why am I doing all this? I'm doing all this to remind us that our common confession together is what we share, and that there is authority and power in confessing Jesus as Christ, Son of God, Lord. Amen? Jesus is Lord. But we also learn, as I've mentioned, Jesus came teaching about the Father. And then he said, I and the Father are one. How can that be? We talked last week about this whole idea of being one, the oneness that we experience when we come to know Jesus Christ. The Bible says that when we come to know Jesus, God comes to live in us, we in him. There is a uniting and connecting of us together. These are amazingly profound truths, but we either believe them or we read them like a science text. You know, well, that's interesting. An atom does that to this and whatever. So tonight we look at this ever increasing teaching we have. First, sometimes the Bible talks about only Jesus as Messiah, Son of God, Lord. Then sometimes Paul will talk about God the Father and God the Son and not speak of the Holy Spirit. And now tonight we read this common blessing. Oh my, Paul got his money's worth out of the Corinthian church. You know that? I mean, they worked him over. There must have been some taters in the Corinthian church. Good. Somebody be listening on Sunday morning. That's good. So now we read tonight in 2 Corinthians 13 these words. Verse 11, finally, you can almost hear Paul sighing. Finally, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. And then we read verse 14, which is a common way we conclude our services many times here at the church. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice all the words there about Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So here we have in this profound confession, it is the conclusion of this book, but Paul says it's the way we greet one another. We'll talk about that in a moment. Here we have the greatest mystery of all. We must confess to one another the character of our great God, who has revealed himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we see him first, and we see in this common blessing, this greeting to one another, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll come and talk about that in a moment. Then we see the love of God, separate from talking about the love of God. And then we see, separate, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We use it as a benediction or a blessing to leave. This is actually a greeting. So we notice this beginning in verse, after Paul encourages them, and it should be the same for us as a church. We should rejoice together. We should rejoice. We should be made complete. This can be read in verse 11. Put things in order. For those of you who like things tidy and neat and cleaned up and all in order, you'll like that. That's what it means. Put everything in order. Do things in order. Then he says in verse 11, be comforted. And the idea of be here is the verb means to keep being comforted. So rejoice, put things in order, be comforted, be like-minded. How are we like-minded? We're like-minded, look, around this book. We're like-minded around this. This is what brings our minds together. This is not, you know, we're all going to have our own ball team and we're all going to have our own opinions. But be like-minded, church. Be like-minded. Right here. Be like-minded. Our like-mindedness is around the truth of God's word. Be like-minded and live in peace. In a world coming apart, live in peace in your families. Live in peace in your marriages. Live in peace with one another here in the fellowship of the church. And then he says, the God of love and peace will be with you. And then he says, greet one another with a holy kiss. And the men say, I ain't doing that. Well, I'm not doing that. But you have to remember the Oriental way is to simply embrace someone on either side of their face. It's not giving them a big kiss. You know. It is a greeting. We shake hands. We greet. But the more important part is, notice this, all the saints greet you. Paul's reminding them that the fellowship of those who know Jesus is far more than just one church. May I remind us all here tonight? There have been people worshiping and serving and following and telling and rejoicing in the Lord Jesus and all he's done and preaching the cross and the gospel all around the world every day. There are many, many, many saints around that are praising the Lord, not just us. So we're not alone. So in greeting one another, we bless one another when we make this common confession. That's why we do it. The best way to greet someone is to say something to them that will be helpful for them for their whole day. So let's start now with this as our greeting tonight. All right? So why is it important? Well, let's take each part for just a moment, and we'll look at this, we'll have prayer, and we'll be finished tonight. So again, you've seen my point. Sometimes in the New Testament, you have only a confession about Jesus as the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God. Sometimes you have in the New Testament a confession of God the Father, God the Father. Jesus taught us that he is our Father, our Heavenly Father. God the Father and the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes, like here, and what we saw last week in Ephesians, we have an example of God as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In fact, before we get into this, I want to take you back over, if you have your Bible, Ephesians chapter 4. Look with me there for just a moment, and let's be reminded of what we talked about last week. about oneness and uniqueness. Oneness and uniqueness. Ephesians 4, here's another one of those ancient confessions. Notice how the Bible reads. There is one body, talking about the church, and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And so we talked about the all, and we talked about the one. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, and one So we see again this confession that God has revealed Himself as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So when we deal with all of God, when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it brings us into a powerful relationship with all of God. And so now we see the reason why a blessing comes to you and to me when we greet each other, as 2 Corinthians 13:14 says. So now let's go back there. Number one, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the early church could have used many different words. Could have been the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. But no, that's reserved to speak of God the Father, because Jesus spoke of God the Father as love. Remember John 3:16? For God so loved. Those are red letter words, by the way. For God so loved the world. So we learn from Jesus the understanding of this mystery of our great God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, yet one God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to take your Bibles and go to John chapter 1 for a moment. John, remember, John, one of the early followers of Jesus, he says in John chapter 1, words that are very important for us, John 1:14. It's one of the famous verses in the Gospel of John. John 1:14. Talking about Jesus as the Word. In other words, who has spoken for God? The unseen God. Jesus has spoken as the Word. He is the Word of God. Jesus speaks. That's why His red letter words are so important in all the Gospels, for us to know and understand. Jesus said His words are eternal. They are the words of God. Now stay with me. John 1:14. And the Word, Jesus, became human flesh. He lived and dwelt among us. And John says, we saw it with our own eyes. We saw His glory. Glory as the only begotten from the Father. In other words, the only Son of God coming from God the Father. Full of what? Grace and truth. Now let's think back to our time talking about grace not too long ago on Sunday mornings, when we were talking about God's grace and our mess. You know what the word grace means? Favor. Think about in the Gospels how many times Jesus showed favor. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about His grace. It's so wonderful to see the grace of the Lord. You remember, He would heal and then someone would touch Him and He would stop what He was doing and deal with a woman who had the blood hemorrhage. You know, the man comes begging Him to come to his house because the slave is dying. And Jesus said, I'll go with you now. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The favor. When they drag out the woman who's caught in adultery, throw her down in front of Jesus in that pitiful scene, and say, all right, the law says you commit adultery, you die. So Jesus, what do we do? You know the story. He draws in the dirt, whatever He does. He kneels in the dirt, says, whoever doesn't have sin, you throw the first rock. Soon they're all gone. And what does the gracious Jesus say? Go and sin no more. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to bless you tonight. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. That's why Paul, in every one of his letters, let's just look at an example. Just turn the page. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 verse 3. Grace to you. Favor to you. Grace to you. And peace. Here it is, that double expression. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. No comment about the Holy Spirit here. Grace and peace be with you. Church, grace and peace be with you. Not turmoil and trouble and misery be with you. Grace and peace be with you. All of these men who followed Jesus were overwhelmed with the graciousness, the favor, the kindness of Jesus. Folks, it's what the world needs to see in us, not miserably mean people who are against everything. That's not the way God sent us into the world. That's not the way Jesus sent us out there so that everybody will know what we're against. We're for this, that if people are broken in sin, they can be saved. Is everybody in agreement with that? That's what we go tell people. You can come to someone who is gracious. How do I know God is gracious? Oh, I'll tell you why. A man died on a cross for you. That is grace. Would you agree? That is grace. The grace. When you say it, feel it, remember it. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace that saves us is also the grace that gifts us. This is a gifted group of people in here. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, after we read those words we read just a moment ago, there's one body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of our Lord, and one God and Father of all who is over all, through all, in all. Then in verse 7 of Ephesians 4 it says, but to each one of us, I'm looking around here, all of you, including all of those who are part of our church, even who are not here, who know Jesus Christ, to each one of us, the many, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And what's he talking about? Grace gifts. You have been given spiritual gifts that must be put to work in your church. This is why we talk about this as disciples, for you to discover and know your spiritual gifts and use them. When we use those gifts, it benefits the body of Christ. As Paul says, until we all attain the unity of faith to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4:13. So tonight we begin our greeting of common confession that blesses us. So how do you bless your friend? Say to them, grace and peace. Grace and peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. You can say that, but let's go on. The grace of the Lord, now we're back in 2 Corinthians 13, 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. Oh my, what do we say here? What do we say? We try to sing about it. We try to talk about it. But we're overwhelmed when we really think about the absolute love of God. We've been talking for now some time on Sunday mornings about love, agape love. Agape love is kind. Agape love is patient. As we saw this morning, agape love covers, protects. Agape love believes all things. Agape love hopes all things. Agape love endures all things. Where does that love come from? It's the love of God given to us We don't love people like that naturally. We don't. So some have said to me while we've been going through 1 Corinthians, this is really hard, Pastor Mike. It's only hard if you try to do it yourself. You listening to me? Loving people, like 1 Corinthians says, can only be done by the help of the Holy Spirit. That kind of love won't come out unless the Holy Spirit brings it out of you. Just not going to happen. I mean, you can get in the mirror and say, I'm going to love, I'm going to love, I'm going to love, I'm going to love, I'm going to love. Try to psych yourself up like a ball game, you know, get yourself all ready, paint up your face, get ready to go out there and do all what you're going to do. And then the first tater comes your way and you blow up. Don't even make it. The love of God helps us to love others. It's not about emotion. It's not about emotion. For God so loved the world that he gave. He so loved that he gave. He gave. He gave. I want you to be gripped tonight again by the love of God. How I pray that the Holy Spirit will explode this truth in your heart. I'm trying to greet you tonight. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, and the love of God be with you. Now, let's go to 1 John for a minute. We looked at these words last Sunday morning. 1 John chapter 4. I want you to look there for just a moment. 1 John chapter 4. And who teaches us and who understood and who was gripped probably more than all the early apostles by love, more than John. John understood this. He knew he was, he was the one. He understood that Jesus loved him. He lived and died his life being gripped by this fact that he was greatly loved by God. I hope you know that tonight, friend. You are greatly loved by God. If God loves you, he will make sure that the best comes in your life. You say, well, he's sure not doing a very good job. Well, wait a minute. You're not done. You're still here. We're still alive. He loves us enough to allow all things, as we've been talking about, to come in our life. All things. So we see here in 1 John chapter 4 something very important. Verse number 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Now this is what we saw before. Notice, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. There's the connection. It comes through our confession that we believe that Jesus is the one who has come from God, the unseen God. Verse 16, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. He said it earlier in this same book. Chapter 3:1, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us. We are called children of God, and such we are. For this reason the world does not know us, because it does not know him. We are greatly loved. So have you, my friend, I'm talking to my fellow followers of Jesus here, I'm asking you, have you come to know and believed the love of God for you? How else can we say it? How else can it be shown to us? The cross of Jesus expresses that profound love God has for us, men and women alike. You must be gripped by God's love before you can ever love anybody in this way. That's why the words of Paul in Romans chapter 5 are so important for us. In Romans chapter 5, we read this earlier together when we were looking at God's grace. Romans 5:5. Hope does not disappoint, because hope does, you'll never be disappointed with God. You know why? Listen. because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The Holy Spirit just keeps saying to you and to me, when we need hope, you are loved. 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 Well, I'm in a hard place. You're loved. You're loved in the hard place. You're loved in the easy place. You are loved. We don't understand the mystery of why God allows and permits things to happen as He does. So tonight, here's our greeting. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And the love of God be with you all. But one last thing. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is an interesting word. It's the word koinonia, the Greek word, koinonia. It is the idea of working together, to do something together. Koinonia is a common experience of life together. It's involved. So when Tim took all of the students and Ryan did all this good cooking down here at the Fall Creek Falls, and he did, right? And the tents filled up with rain, and all of it blew up, and the wind blew, and all the rain. You all had koinonia. That's koinonia. So what happens when I come to know Jesus Christ? The Holy Spirit gets inside of me and starts doing crazy things to my mind and my desires and my will. You've heard the old preacher say, when you get saved, your want to changes. Why? It's not because you've read the Bible, you haven't had enough time. You're just starting out with the Lord. You're just learning about this, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Let me read something to you that is just so wonderful before I get too worked up tonight. Romans chapter 8, look at this. This is so good. Why not let the Bible say it? It's better than a preacher trying to say it. Romans 8, 9. However, you who are followers of Jesus are not in the flesh. Well, Paul, I'm still sitting here. Look, I'm looking around. There's a bunch of bodies in here. What is he talking about? Remember, he's talking about living the old way, the old fleshly way, and the new way. However, you're not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit. See, this is this idea of fellowship with the Spirit. We work with the Holy Spirit now inside of us. Now, let's just read on down. Look what it means to have fellowship with the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him, capital H, God the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. See the work of the Holy Spirit, God the Father, Jesus, the profound truth of one God revealed as Father, Son, and Spirit. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal body. How? Through His Spirit who dwells in you. This is describing the fellowship that we have with the Holy Spirit. So then, brethren, when you're not under obligation to the flesh, but you now live by the Spirit. You put to death the deeds of the body, verse 13, and you will live, verse 14. All who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So a preacher told this story. This is a great example of learning how to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That means you listen to the whole, you pay attention when the Holy Spirit says to you, we should do this, you do it. When the Holy Spirit gives you in your heart and mind a clear message that a certain thing ought to happen, you do it. So here's the story, true story. A pastor went to a retreat center and he was there trying to meet and do some praying and preparation. He went down to the little caretaker place where there was a man and a woman who lived there. And they did not know Jesus. And so they were taking care of the place, and he went there and he would eat his meals and they would visit. And he talked to them over the time he was there about why he was there and who he was and what he was doing. He would have his Bible. And so they, over time, they talked together, and he was there for a number of days till the man came and found him and said, I want to know about Jesus. So the pastor led him to confess with his mouth Jesus as Lord, believe in his heart that God raised him from the dead, and he was saved. He was born again. So the caretaker and his wife, then the caretaker went back, they talked to her, she became a follower of Jesus and was born again also. So the pastor would meet with them for their meal, but they had a tradition in their home. The tradition in their home where this particular person lived was they would finish the meal and the man would ask his wife to bring out the wine and he would have his wine. So the pastor left. This was just their regular tradition. This is what he did. They did it. So he comes to know Jesus and is born again. There's no preacher around. They haven't gotten him connected into a church. He hasn't had time to connect into any group of fellowship followers of Jesus. He's a caretaker out in this place. It's a beautiful place, but there's nobody around. So the pastor leaves, and the week or so after, the pastor gave them a Bible, showed them a few things they were supposed to do. And so the man comes for their evening meal, and the wife brings the wine out, and he says to the wife, I don't know if we're supposed to drink this wine. Now remember, there's no Baptist church there having a long sermonette on drinking and alcohol. The pastor was there, just led him to Jesus. All of a sudden, he has this feeling, I don't think this is what we should do. So he says to his wife, take that book that the preacher gave us and find the place where it says what you're supposed to do about drinking wine. I mean, he didn't even know what you're supposed to do with this book. So he happened to be in the city a few weeks later. He talked with the pastor, and the pastor said, well, you must listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is saying to you something. You shouldn't do it. Remember, this man had only been born again, had no training in discipleship. No one had talked to him about alcohol and the pluses and minuses. Nothing. But he said to his wife, and he told the pastor, I'm glad to know that because I told my wife, no more wine. Because, and this is the way he said it, I am going to follow the resident boss. Isn't that good? The resident boss. So Pastor Mike, what are you saying to me? I'm saying that that's what koinonia is. It's having fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It is that we walk with God. So Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is coming and He will be with you and in you and He will teach you all things. He will teach you all things. He will be your friend, comforter. He is the one who comes alongside you. He is the one who walks with you. So when we bless one another, here's what we're saying. Here's what the last phrase is saying. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The phrase is, live in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That's the greeting. So tonight as we finish, here we hear it. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you're praying, if you're listening to God and you're starting to have some kind of thoughts and feelings about something you shouldn't do or do, you better pay attention. The Holy Spirit's inside of you, actively working in your mind, renewing your mind, in your emotions and your desires. This is important. It's not just, you must pay attention to the promptings and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So, Pastor Mike, I thought that was just for the book of Acts and the early disciples. Are you kidding me? The same Spirit. I spent all last week fussing about this. The same Spirit who was in the apostles is in you. Do you hear me tonight, church? So live in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit, Romans 8, are children of God. Leadership means somebody saying, go here, don't go here. Say that, don't say that. Do that, don't do that. So tonight, we end the way we always do, by blessing one another with a common confession. But before we do, let's bow our heads for an invitation. Perhaps you're here tonight and you do not know the grace of God. Perhaps you're here tonight and you have never experienced the love of God in your life. Let me tell you, friend, if you do not know Jesus, the love of God has been expressed in the most profound way, the cross of Jesus. Perhaps you're here tonight, and as a follower of Jesus, you are resisting the Holy Spirit. You are grieving the Holy Spirit in your life. You have not, because of the things you've been doing and saying and thinking, you have been away from God. You've been living in the flesh. You haven't been in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You've missed it. Is there somebody here tonight who needs to trust Jesus? Step forward and say it. I'm ready to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. We'll help you. I'm right here. Others of our men are here. If you need to join this church.